name, Lord Jesus, I speak. Now, judging from the book of Micah, it's quite clear that there are two periods of time in which the church will emerge, right? Now, again, I said the idea, it's all because of my flu, that's why the window has to be open. Okay. Now, it's an idea which can be seen in different parts of the scriptures as well, especially in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, you find that if we do not have this idea in mind, some passages in the Bible become very difficult to understand, right? Now, I want to give you one example here. We turn to the book of Psalms. Please turn to the book of Psalms, 107. Psalms 107, we read verse 33. Next, to read verse 33. Verse 35. Robin, Robina, read. 107.
And he turns the wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water of the streets.
Okay, now here you find that, it's like, without this pattern of understanding, this passage of the scriptures does not really make sense to us. Now, why does God turn rivers into a wilderness and then this wellspring into dry ground? Now, verse 35, and then he turned it back from a wilderness into pools of water. Right? Now, when you look at verse 34, we understand that because of the wickedness of what? Of those who dwell in the land. Okay? Now, so you find that this has been the patterns, yeah? In fact, in many of the passages of the scriptures. Now, if you look at the apostolic church, when the church first began, based on the book of Acts, find that the church was very, very unique and very spiritual, and the church expanded very quickly, and it reached to different places and to different people from different walks of life very quickly. Right now, as the church continued to progress, you find corruptions began to seep into the church, right? And this is what we can see in Acts of the Apostle, right? Now, obviously, to a point that eventually, God has to destroy. God has to destroy, the city altogether, right? The church altogether, because the spirit left the church. Okay. Now, this is what what happened to this church, to the period in which the church emerged. Okay, now I want you to look at another passage. Turn to Isaiah. Now, turn to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. Now, verse 12 onwards, again, it talks about how this pleasant field and this fruitful wine, was turned into what? One with thorns and briars, is practically, God deserted the entire vineyard or the entire land. Now, how can the original state or the former glory of the land or the vineyard be restored? Now, verse 15. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. So quite clearly, when the Spirit comes, then everything will be turned back to its original state. Right? Now, precisely, the church became corrupt. Yeah, because what? Because man sinned against God, and therefore the Spirit left the church. Now, for that, for the church, the apostolic church, to return to her former glory requires the Spirit to come again. That's why today you find that the Spirit has come to the true Jesus church. But obviously, I will explain why there is still a period of struggle. Anyway, I did this in CYC because I'm asked to do about a true church. So, sorry, counselor, you have to listen to me again. The same old thing. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, we turn back to Micah. Now, we come back to chapter 1, verse 9, yeah? Now, like what we said, yeah, chapter 1 to chapter 3 talks about the apostolic church, all right? Now, I want to look at verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. For her wounds are incurable, for it has come to Judah, has come to the gate of my people, to Jerusalem. Now, he's talking about wound that cannot be cured, right? Now, this is very significant. When you look at the state of the apostolic church, especially towards the turn of the first century, it's like practically the wound or the spiritual wound was incurable, right? Now, I think for those who did Revelation last year, you must have realized that chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation, yeah, talks about the seven churches. In fact, quite scary, you find that, you know, at least two of the churches actually had the thrones of Satan, or the church had become the synagogue of Satan. It's quite scary. Right? It's very hard to understand, eh? The Church of God suddenly become what? The place where Satan dwells. Now, we know that the church is the place where God's dwell. Yeah? Now, in chapter Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, tell us that some churches has turned corrupt. Right? Now, that's why Micah described, you know, that kind of wound as incurable. It cannot be cured anymore. Right? Now, we turn to chapter 4. Chapter 4, yeah? Now, I want you to look at verse 8, all right? Verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Now, my version says, even the former dominion shall come. Meaning, Zion previously has been given this dominion. Right? Now, as the time went by, for some reason, it seems that she has lost this dominion. Now, when you look at the re-emergence in chapter 4 of Zion, basically is what? To restore that former dominion. Okay? And we believe that this former dominion will come. It's about power. Right? The church has lost, and now it shall be restored. It shall be given back to her. Can you see? Can you see now? It's like, you know, Zion lost it, and now God is going to restore it back to Zion, right? Two-time period. Is that clear? Now, also, again, I want to bring to your attention, in fact, one of the main causes, you know, for the city of God to suffer such a devastation is because of what? false prophets. Now, I want to read, actually in Micah, and this issue is addressed quite substantially. Now, look at chapter 2. Please look at chapter 2. Now, when you read from verse 6, all the way down to verse 11, basically this section of the scriptures is talking about the lying prophets. Okay? Now, so the main cause for the downfall of Zion is because Zion has been infiltrated with false prophecies. Alright, so that's why when you look at the apostolic church, it's the same, isn't it? Now, we are going to do 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Yeah? In fact, one of the main features of these three books is about false prophets, right? Or false prophecies. Right? Okay, now, so, class, the reminder is this, yeah? Now, because I think most of you are still very young to understand how devastating false prophecy can be. Because you have never grown up in a situation where, you know, false prophecy is so rife that you have experienced it yourself. No. I think, you know, the older generation, for those who have been in the church for a period of time, like 60 years old, 50, 60, 70, like myself. You get what I'm saying, right? Then, you know, for us, we've been through that kind of thing, then we know, not a joke anymore. It's very serious. You get what I'm saying, right? Now, so you find that in many of the prophetic books, they always talk about what? False prophecy, a false prophet. Right? So we'll spend a bit of time to go through that later on. Now, I want you to look at, just to help you understand, a bit more, I want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. I'm still on introduction, by the way, okay? because I'm given 15 hours. So, plenty of time to introduce to you false prophecies. Okay, now, I don't laugh too much. Okay. Otherwise, I will start coughing again. Now, Jeremiah chapter 23. Now, I want you to look at... we start reading from verse 9 onwards, just to give you some rough idea, when this false prophet... came from and how, false prophecy came about. Okay, now if you look at verse 9 onwards, from verse 9 onwards, we read verse 11. Okay, now for both prophets and priests are profane, yes, in my house I found their wickedness, says the Lord. Now, you find that actually false prophets are closely connected to their deeds. You know, when you look at the deeds of a person, if the person always goes against the word of God, or behave in a very, a wicked way, which is contrary to the teachings of the Bible, you find that very likely, if he's a worker of God, he can end up being a false prophet. Okay, that's why here it says, "What their deeds, the prophets and the priests are profane." Now, I want you to look at verse 13 also. Verse 13, and I have seen folly in the prophet of Samaria, that prophesies by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Right? Now, you find that in actual fact, this prophet, the so-called prophet, actually worship not the true God, they worship another God. Or in this case, they worship Baal. Right? Now, Baal is a form of idolatry, You know, today there are so many different types of idolatry. Some are visible and some are invisible. So if our hearts fall for any form of idolatry, you know, if we are not careful, especially the worker of God like myself, I will end up being a false prophet. Because in my heart, I'm not worshipping God at all. Yeah, I could be worshipping, you know, a form of ideology or a kind of ideas that I think is very essential. Or I have my own way of thinking, right? Or I believe in certain thing which is not based on the scriptures. Yeah? And if I don't get it of it, I will end up what? End up worshipping idol rather than worshipping God. Okay? Now, more importantly, yeah, quite scary actually. Now, if you look at the same chapter, I want to read verse 25 first. Yeah, we jump a bit. We read verse 25, 26 next to read. Esther. Now, it's quite scary, isn't it? Now, some prophet, they prophesize what? Lies. Yeah? Now, not only they prophesize lies, they did so in the name of God. Alright? It's like, you know, by invoking the name of God, they thought that they could what? Draw more people to themselves. Because they're using the name of God. Right? Now, here it says some of them actually might prophesize, yeah, according to the deceit of their own hearts. Now, that's why you find that, yeah, this prophet, they have gone astray simply because their hearts were not right with God. You know, in their hearts, probably, you know, they harbor some sort of what? Deceit. Right? Or wickedness. You know, when we speak the word of God, yeah, the heart must be very clean. But we must cleanse ourselves all the time from all this wickedness. Yeah, so that we can speak the word of God in truth. Right? And in sincerity and faithfulness. Right? Okay, now let's come back. Yeah, let's come back. we read verse 16. Right, verse 16. Next to read. Chapter 23:16. Yes. Again, you see that it's quite scary, isn't it? People say they receive, you know, revelation from God or whatever. In reality, it is not the case. Right? They speak what? A vision of their own heart. Yeah? And not from the mouth of the Lord. And so that's why we have been saying this. Yeah? We need to what? Discern, you know, very carefully. Very, very carefully. Right? Alright, so you know, I've given you an assignment already. Yeah? What's the assignment? Can't remember. What's the assignment?
List the reasons why Zion was destroyed.
The what? Okay. Hallelujah. Is there a limit to how many I can give them?
Yes.
No, I'm not asking you. Well, because my assignment is very simple. It's very simple. Yeah, one more or maybe two more here. You see, I forgot. I can't remember now. I tell you what, if you disturb me again, yeah, I'll give you three more. Huh? I forgot. What is that, Simon? Yeah, but. never mind. I'll think about it first. Can't remember. Never mind. Okay, come back. Now, I want to bring to your attention now that please read chapter 23. Chapter 23, yeah? Verse 20. Next to read, verse 23. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. Now, so here you find that those who preach heresies, we say false prophecy, you find that what, the anger of the Lord will not turn back. Right? The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. Right? Something that God what would intend to do. Class, wake up. Stand up, please. Stand up. I'm not happy with the way you sit, okay? Stand up. Okay. Okay, sit down. Sit straight, okay? Class, sit properly, don't talk, look at me, look at my face. Today is only the first day, you've got 20 days to go. Okay, now. The reminder here again is that God is very particular about this, right? He will not let this go. He will fight to the end. Okay, now I want to show you another example. Yeah, we turn to Isaiah chapter 27, the one we have read, or the one we have touched on early on. Right? Now, chapter 27. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 27. Verse 3 and verse 4. Next, read. Verse 4. Okay, now here it says that God will fight against what? Thorns and briars. We know that thorns and briars refers to what? Refers to false teachings, right? And you'll find that God would not allow this to happen in the church. He will fight to the end. And obviously, he will raise up different people in the church in different time, you know, to fight against what? The infiltration or the incursions of heresies into the church. Because we have seen for ourselves, you know, from the Old Testament scriptures, especially the prophetic books, the downfall of the first church. It's because of heresies. But again, class, I want to remind you, so in the future, if you are given a more significant, you know, role in the church, remember that whatever you said, whatever you do, it should come from a heart of godliness. Yeah, a heart of humility, yeah, and a heart of faithfulness towards the Word of God. Right? No one can afford to speak anything against the belief of the church without paying a heavy price for it. Yeah, according to what the prophet has said. And God will come after us. That's for sure. Right? So, obviously, we encourage all of you all of you, every one of you here, to hold on to what you believe. Right? Now, the important thing is, if you have any doubts in your mind, it's better to clear it out, clear it, to remove it. You know when we are in Africa, you know one of the things that we do, yeah, all the workers, yeah, one of the things that we do is to help purge the old belief, we say, or the leaven or the yeast from our local work, the workers in Africa, because many of them actually came from what? Came from other Christian denominational churches. So they actually have a lot of different ideas about, you know, the teachings of the scriptures. So we, in fact, you know, the workers, the AMC workers have discovered that if they are not purged from their old beliefs or wrong beliefs, you'll find that very soon this wrong belief will be like yeast or leaven that can cause you to turn away from the right path of God. Right? Now, that's why we want you to stay very, very pure as far as the Word of God is concerned. Stay pure and stay clear of any form of heresies. You know, things that the church has never talked about before. Right? We want you to stay clear of that. Is that clear? But the reason is very simple, to be honest about it. We don't want you to fall. Yeah? And the church wants to safeguard, you know, your faith. You want to make sure that, you know, you will not wander away from the truth of the Lord. Simple as that. You know, I think most of the time when you talk about heresies, and I think one of the sources is from the scriptures, because the Bible talks about heresies, like, you know, example given in the Old Testament scriptures, example given by Jesus, an example given by the apostles. You yourself have never experienced this kind of thing before. That's why you cannot understand how serious it can be, right? Yeah, if you ask all those workers who have been in the church long enough, they will tell you stories about you know, the danger of what? Giving ground to heresies to infiltrate into your life. Right? Now, just to make sure, I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We read verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. I read myself, okay? For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Now, you find that when deception comes, or false prophecy comes, it is about what? The battle of the mind. Right? Now, if you know the Word of God well, and if you are rooted in the Word of God, then your mind can resist, you know, the infiltration or heretic incursion or heretic infiltration. But again, if you are not rooted in the Word of God, if your mind is not strong, then you'll be captured. You'll be troubled by whatever, you know, form of heresy, you know, that might appear, you know, either in your life or in the church or whatever. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now we have a very simple mind. It says what? The simplicity in Christ Jesus. Right? Very simple. You have been given the truth. You have been fed with the Word of God. You know, we find that once this battle balance of simplicity is tilted, if you don't correct it very quickly, then what happened? Your mind will be affected. You begin to think, you know, is this the true church? Yeah? Is what we have received, you know, the correct one? You start doubting. Yeah? You find that your soul will be unsettled. Okay? Now, we turn to Acts chapter 15. We read verse 24. Acts chapter 15, verse 24. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Right? Now, so you find that this episode here concerning what? Circumcision, actually is not from the Lord. Yeah, it talks about some people who would like to come to unsettle the believers with their words, to trouble their hearts. Right? So if you know the word of God, if you have been rooted in the truth that you have received, then you will not be troubled. You know, this is not the word of God. Right? You can just put it away. Very simple. But on the contrary, if you have not been rooted, then what happened? You become very unsettled. Or maybe I have not received the correct belief before. Maybe this one is the correct. You feel very disturbed. Right? Okay. Now, coming back to Micah. We turn back to Micah. What? All right, now I want you to turn to chapter 2 again. Now, I want you to look at verse 11. Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 11. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be the prattler of this people. Now, my point is this, yeah? Right? Now, false prophecy is not just about the concept, it's just not about the idea that, you know, a false prophet is talking about. Now, I want you to understand this. You know, behind the person, okay, there's a kind of force at work. That's why here it says what? It says what? If a man should walk in a false spirit, how can a person walk in a false spirit? Okay? A person walks in a false spirit because he has been under the control of this false spirit. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? Now, how is it that a person can walk, what? In the false spirit, because he has given ground to false teachings. You understand what I'm saying? It's something that I would illustrate even more when we come to the book of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Okay? So, class, I want you to understand now, from now on, you need to be very clear in what you believe in. Okay? You need to like, to make your mind very clear about this. Right? What has been given to you is true, precisely, not only we base it on the scriptures, and also because of the fact that you have received the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes. You understand what I'm saying now? If you have received the Holy Spirit and you know that the Holy Spirit is from God, is true, you experience the receiving of the Holy Spirit yourself, then you have to accept that whatever the church has given to you concerning the truth, I'm saying concerning the truth, is true. And I want to make one point clear, even though sometimes you find that we are not able to answer certain questions very adequately. But that does not mean that what you have received is not true. You get what I'm saying? Is that clear? Right? Now, I'll tell you a testimony. You know, sometimes in Africa, you know, when you speak, when we speak to pastors from other churches, yeah, you know, sometimes when we talk to them, we find that we can't get through to them because they believe that they also have the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you listen to them, they also pray in tongues, even though we feel that their tongue is very strange. Pray in tongues as well. Okay. Now, so by the mercy of God, you know, because they come to the church, you know, come for seminar. Right? Sometimes we have 2 weeks, 3 weeks seminar for them. So they came, they listened to the truth. Right? Because of the power of the word of God, yeah, when they have the heart to listen, what happened? They begin to accept the truth. You know what happened? When they pray, they receive the Holy Spirit. And they testify, oh, the spirit that now I receive is different from the previous spirit. Now, how is it that these people can receive the Holy Spirit and make such a distinction? Because they listen to the word of God, the truth that the church has given to them. Right? Today you have received the Holy Spirit. That's how we say, don't joke with the word of God. Yeah? Because if you willfully try to listen, try to embrace, try to accept things which are contrary to your belief, then you find that you actually invite the guy to come to work in you. Then you find that you can never come out from it. It's very dangerous. It's for your own good. It's for the good of the church. You get what I'm saying now? Alright? You know, I have been young before, but not anymore. We all look for excitement, isn't it? Thrill. Study something different. Yeah. You want to get excited. Is it not true? But it's very dangerous, I tell you. Right? Now is the time what? To focus yourself purely on the Word of God. That is very important. Very, very important. You know, God has established His church by the pouring down of the Holy Spirit and what? Reveal His truth to the early workers. The basic belief. So, you know, judging from Micah, the first section, the main reason for the downfall of Zion, you find that Zion was badly desecrated because of false teachings. Okay? Any questions? You see, when I talk about this, I don't cough anymore. Any question? Any question? Any question? No? You understand now? Please. According to Paul, this is a dangerous time. This is a dangerous time. And this is exactly what I told the CYC student also. And I was asked to talk about the end time, so this is a dangerous time. Very dangerous. Keep yourself in the Lord. Okay? You know, keep yourself in the Lord does not mean that you only come to the church to pray, to listen to something. No. Keep yourself in the Lord means you keep the truth of God in your heart. Yeah? Because God is very what? Is a very orderly God. Right? You know, it's impossible for him to tell you something, say, yeah, you know, yesterday, and today he comes and tells you something otherwise, contrary to what he told you yesterday. That's not possible. That's not God. God does not behave in this way. That's why the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and or tomorrow, or forever. He doesn't change. If he doesn't change, it means that his truth does not change also. Is it not true? Where is it recorded? That verse, where is that verse? I know. Some of you are going to graduate. Oh. Simple verse you don't know. Okay, not la. Where is it recorded? God is the same to yesterday, today, and?
Hebrews 13.
Okay, you can graduate. You may leave. That's what I'm saying. Okay? It's the same forever. Right, we say a silent prayer. Amen.